Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
I really appreciate the guy that's going to come up in a few moments, Pastor Randall Black. He comes to us from Virginia. We have had a friendship over the years. We've traveled. We're kind of like missionary travelers. We were introduced by our mutual friend David and kind of connected us together and connected the dots. And from that point, we've traveled to a couple places, El Salvador, but primarily we've gone to the Dominican Republic. And he's been so generous with his church and giving to us and giving to our work down there. And not only that, but supplying teams that have gone and helped us to build the church. They went with us last year. They're planning to go with us again in June, bringing another construction team. And these guys, when you see them work, it's like a thing of beauty. I mean, they're just kind of like, just get out of their way. They know what they're doing. And man, they make it happen. And these are guys, it's very humbling because these are guys that they take their vacation time. They take off their vacation time to go work in the foreign field, right? And so that's an amazing, amazing blessing. I've so appreciated Pastor Randall because of that and because of that love that comes through in that very practical way. But not only that, but listen, he's a terrific preacher. He's got a word, man. He gave a word this morning that will blow your socks. And he gave a word yesterday to the men's breakfast. What a phenomenal men's breakfast we had yesterday. What a great group of guys. And I will forever remember that word from the book of Nehemiah that he brought to us over at George and Emma's house. And I know he's got a really, really great word for you today. Listen, here's what I want you to do. Resist the temptation to think that the word is for someone else. You know, we do that, don't we? Say, I wish my brother Bill was here to hear that. Man, you know, my sister, you know, my daughter needed to hear this. No. It's me. And when I mean me, it's not like me. It's you. You got to say me. Say me.
Me.
Point to yourself.
Me.
Say it's for me.
For me.
Amen. Right? It's for me. Guys, would you give a nice welcome to Pastor Randall Black? And he's got a lame arm right now, and I just tell him to suck it up, Buttercup. But he's got an excuse.
Amen. Praise God. I got some titanium put in my shoulder a few weeks ago, so this is my first day preaching without my brace and all. So God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him God is good. Come on, tell him I'm so glad you're here today, because you make me look much better. Amen. I want you to get your Bible out, and I like a strong microphone, so I already asked the sound person this morning, keep me strong. Amen. I had throat surgery once. I don't want to have that again, so God is good. You know, they make toilet paper and stuff. You can put a little bit in your ear if you have to. It's all right. God is good. Amen. Let me look at you, and you look at me, and now we get that out of the way. Amen. I don't know some of you. You don't know me, but we know God. Amen. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ yet, we love you, and you're on that journey to having that relationship. You're here because you're interested in that relationship. So we love you too. Amen. We love you most of all. Amen. And if we can do anything to help you get to know Jesus better, just talk to us after service. Talk to Pastor D or Pastor O'Dallas after service, and we'll help you get closer to Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Amen. I'm preaching to you today. I got some balloons with me. We're going to have fun. We're going to get into all that. But I always preach from a Bible that my mentor, Pastor David Reyes, gave me. He gave me three Bibles. This is the one he gave me in 2007. And I've been preaching with this Bible hundreds of messages. And I never preach anywhere that I don't preach from one of his Bibles, because where I go, he is also preaching the word. He can't be there, but he is preaching the word through his investment in my life. So would you give Pastor David a big God bless you? Pastor Dennis and I are connected because of him. Russell and I and Pat and I are connected. That means we are connected, but it all started with one. And also, you have wonderful pastors. I've been sleeping at their house. I've been driving in their cars. I'm going to ride on their boat. Glory be to God. Amen. And so would you give a thank you clap for your pastors and appreciate them. Amen. They're wonderful people. Let's get our Bibles, our phones. Now, if you have your Bible on your phone, I want you to stay on the Bible app and not the Facebook app. If you have your Bible on your phone, stay on your Bible app, not your text message. There's nothing so important that it must be done while God's word is being spoken. See, we have a lack of respect for God, and we wonder why God has trouble answering our prayers. We won't take time to worship him, but we want him to take time to hear us. Come on, somebody say amen. We want God to be on the ready while we're on the slow. And so I want to encourage you, I won't preach long, but I will preach. Blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. So I'm not going to preach to you everything in the Bible. I'm going to preach to you one thing that God gave me for today. But I want to ask if you'll reverence God and give him your undivided attention. You'll call your soul into order. You'll speak to the infirmities of your body that they won't act up. And you'll let your spirit man rise up and take authority over you for this next period to receive the power of God's word. Because it is God's word that'll change you. And so let's get our Bibles out and hold them up, or your phone or your iPad, whatever you have the Bible on. And everybody say, this is my Bible. This is the living word of God. This is his will and my inheritance. I am what it says I am. Today I'll hear the word. I'll receive it by faith with joy, and I'll never be the same again. Today is my day. Now give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, and I want to talk to you about one word and one word only today, and that word is breath. I'm a southern preacher, and I know I've gone so far south that I'm almost in the north, because so many of you were northerners at one time or another. But in the south, we really get our preachers preaching. We get up sometime and slap high five in the middle of their message, and sometimes we get up and wave a hanky in the middle of sir. Sometimes we just get up and say, thank you, Jesus. That's the way I do it. And so y'all got to make me feel at home a little bit. So I'm going to get you to say a lot of things, because you're going to leave a little tireder than you normally leave. You might have a little sore throat when you leave, and you'll wonder, I only said 100 things. He said 10,000. Wonder how his throat is doing. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I have breath. That means I have life and I have power. We're going to look at the word breath. Go to Luke chapter 19, verse 37, and we're going to preface everything from here, and then we're going to go to the book of Genesis, where breath began. Verse 37 of Luke 19. Then as he was drawing near to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Well, I don't like worship loud. I'm quiet, Pastor. You don't understand. I'm praising him on the inside. Well, I want you to know what's happening on the inside will begin to manifest on the outside. Come on, somebody. So don't tell me you're praising God in silence. The Bible said they praised him with a loud voice. Come on, somebody say amen. At the mighty works we had seen, and they said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Then some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, and they said, teacher, rebuke them. Religion will always want to rebuke your praise. Religion will always tell you, like blind Bartimaeus, be quiet and be silent and deal with the pain that you're in silence. Deal with the depression that you're in silence. Deal with the infirmity that you have, but don't you dare praise God. Would you rebuke them?
And Jesus looked at these Pharisees. See, you understand the word of God. Jesus never forsook a sinner. He never rebuked a sinner. He never offered any judgment to a sinner. He offered grace to the sinner and forgiveness to the sinner and righteousness to the sinner. But Jesus had problems with religion. He looked at them and said, "You are a whitewashed sepulcher. You are a snake. You are a viper." And he looked at these Pharisees and he said to them, "If they don't praise me, look under your feet, you Pharisaical religious spirit. The very rocks from which you stand on will lift up a praise and magnify my name, for my name shall be praised." And so they took their breath and they praised the Lord. Now I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2. And this is where it gets good. And I want to encourage you, take note. My Bible, I can hardly read some pages in my Bible because I highlight in it. I write in it. I got sermon notes in it. I got sermon notes from pastors I hear in it. Things I see on social media. I mean, my Bible, if I ever lost my Bible, I would be lost. I would be lost. I would not know what to do if I couldn't pick up my Bible every day and find life from it. I wouldn't know what, I mean, I am a believer, correct? The Bible is the bread of life, amen? And so if I have to eat food every day, I can find McDonald's. Come on. Some people in here will go to more trouble to find a restaurant to eat at than a church to partake of the word of God from. Come on, somebody. They'll wait in a foyer of Red Lobster for an hour to be seated, but get mad when worship goes over 30 minutes in God's house. Come on, somebody say amen. They'll give a waitress an 18% tip and struggle with giving God a 10% tithe. Come on, somebody, they'll make a $700 car payment, but can't give a $50 offering to missions. I'm sorry, Pastor. I don't have notes, you understand. Amen. I didn't write this down. Y'all love me? Y'all look at me and say, "We love you." Okay, I love you guys too. Now, look. Nothing wrong with $700 car payments. If you tithe, there's nothing wrong with that. If you got that money, go for it. Nothing wrong. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But I'm saying we will put more energy and effort into soulical things than we do spiritual things. We'll go to a movie and we'll get there an hour early to get the seat we want. And we'll stroll in 40 minutes late to church with no thought. Come on, you're not going to miss the first 20 minutes of the Tom Cruise movie. Come on, somebody. But we're not really worried about the first 20. Come on, somebody. We'll get to the ball game 3 hours early and tailgate in the parking lot. To go celebrate athletes that would never know your name and never help you if you ask them to help. What if we started tailgating in the Pure Heart parking lot? Come on, y'all got here at 9 o'clock and said, "We gonna have the grills out." Come on, who wants some breakfast? And people would drive by. What are they doing? We're tailgating for Jesus. We're about to have church. Man, what if the church began to turn the table on that? Church should be more fun than the Miami Dolphins, amen. Well, it probably is around here. I know the Dolphins are struggling, amen, amen. Yeah, amen. All right, let me get back up here, amen. I'm a Steeler fan, so I apologize, amen. Now look. Genesis chapter 2. Y'all still love me? Amen, amen. This is the history, verse 4. All right, blessed are the short-winded. Let me keep my word. This is the history of the heavens and the earth. All right, God's given us a history lesson. And when they were created, and in the day that the Lord God made the earth and also made the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had ever grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist would come up from the earth and water the whole face of the earth. Have you ever been in Publix or over there where they got the fruits and vegetables? They got them misting machines that'll keep them living longer. Some high dollar millionaire refrigerators have those same things in them. Well, guess what? God did that long before Publix ever did it. And in the beginning, it had never rained, but every day there would be a mist that would water every plant on the face of the earth. But there was no man to oversee it. So we get to the good part. Touch your neighbor and say, the good part. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And we know God made us in our likeness, in his likeness and image. And so God spoke the tree into existence. And God spoke the blue whale into existence. And God spoke the greater celestial object, the sun, into existence. And he spoke the lesser celestial object, the moon, into existence. But when it came to you and I, God did not speak us into existence. God took his hands and said, I'm going to get a little bit dirty in this endeavor, and I'm going to get down in the dirt, and I'm going to make man. And so God made us in his image. Come on, somebody. But we were not alive. There were no lungs in us and no heart in us. And it said that God did something very profound. And the worship leader already mentioned it earlier. She was preaching the end of my message at the beginning of service. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And God breathed into man. What separates you and I from the monkey? What separates you and I from the dog or the lion or the tiger is not that God didn't create. And he did create us. He created them and he created us. But what separates Dennis from any other created thing is that God breathed his breath into his life. And then God said, let everything that has breath, meaning no animal can praise him, no tree can praise him, the star can't praise him, angels can't even do what we do because they don't have his breath. But God said, I gave you my breath, and everything that has breath shall give it back to me. Whew. But man was dead until God's breath breathed on him. And maybe you've been here today and you're alive, but you're not living. You're here, but you're not full of the life of God. And you need the breath of God, the wind of God, that represents the Spirit of God, to breathe into your life and to resurrect you and to make you alive again. For God said, let everything that hath breath. In that verse, he's only talking to us as human beings. There's nothing else he gave his breath to. And so we have to magnify the Lord. We have to magnify the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have breath. Therefore, I have life and I have power. His breath equals our life. Now look, there was a season not long ago, 8 months or so ago, that I was dry. You ever been there? Two people, the rest of you, you know, whatever. I was preaching. You're like, wait a minute, that's a question. What's next? You don't know me, right? I was preaching. And I'd go home and tell my wife, we've been almost 28 years in ministry. I'm like, baby, I don't feel anything. I feel dry and brittle. Sometimes I feel hard like a concrete floor. I would get just enough energy to stand before my church and deliver a message. And maybe they wouldn't know I was struggling. Maybe God would protect me and divinely use me. And then I would get home and I would like, baby, I can't feel anything. I'm numb. I mean, is it even real? Was the anointing there today? Was the message meaningful? Have you ever felt dead and dry, and you try different things? I need to go to the beach, so I go over to Virginia Beach, or I need to go to a ball game, so I go to the University of Virginia ball game. And you would think those things would make me feel better, and temporarily they did. But what Randall needed was the breath of God to breathe into my lungs, the Holy Spirit to resurrect me. So I began to get with God and I began to worship him. I didn't cry out in the negative, oh God, help me, and oh God, I'm struggling. I just began to magnify the Lord. Lord, I can't feel anything, but I'm going to praise you. Lord, I'm in pain, but I'm going to praise you. Lord, I went through a mighty trial, but I'm going to praise you. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And God breathed into that dirt, and that dirt came alive. Now look, if dirt can come alive, you can come alive. Now we got a little dirt in us. I'm clean and pristine. No, you dirty. God made you from the dirt. Look at all the skin colors and look at all the colors of dirt. We came from dirt. We're dirty. And God made us out of the dirt. But God said, I'm not going to leave you dirty. I'm going to wash you with the water of my word, and I'm going to cleanse you by the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb of heaven, and I'm going to breathe my spirit into you, and that dirt is going to resurrect and become alive, hallelujah, and you're going to be in my likeness and image, and I'm going to sit on the heart of every person that accepts me, and then I will bestow upon you power that you can tread upon serpents, you can cast out devils, you can speak with new tongues. All of that came from dirt. So if all of that could come from dirt, there's hope for you. You might say, I don't know, man, I'm struggling, I'm poor, I'm broke, I'm hurting, I'm this, I'm that. I want you to know today that God's breath can breathe upon you and change every situation in your life. I have been through it, and I know it. If you knew my story, you would know it. I have been where I lost everything, and I didn't have anything left but God. Nothing left. I had family and God, and I had to decide, am I going to point a finger at God and blame God for everything, or am I going to point a finger at myself and say, God, I need to repent and begin to worship and begin to magnify, and I began to magnify the Lord, and my wife would leave music on in the house and a little note and say, honey, read this scripture, for the Lord is going to bless you today, and I was depressed and suicidal, and I would read the note from my wife and click on the song she would leave on the computer, and then I'd begin to magnify the Lord, and little by little by little, the breath of God began to breathe in me again. It works when you let the Spirit of God breathe upon you. Not religion, not just the little program to get you free. Programs are good. It'll give you order and discipline and all that. But there comes a time when you need the Spirit of God, the breath of God, to just mess you up and to blow upon your life and to blow out everything that's bad and only leave that which is good. Yeah, the breath of God. Can you go to Ezekiel with me? Let's go here. Touch your neighbor, say, it's going to get better now. Now, I had read Ezekiel for 2 decades. Okay. Read this. I'd preached from it, but I'd never read it and got this word. I didn't know the word breath was in Ezekiel. I didn't know it was here, and as God was resurrecting me beginning this past August, and he took me through his breath and the wind, and how his breath will bring me life, and how his spirit will be my resurrection power, he took me to Ezekiel 37, and I began to read it again. So would you read this with me, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 37. The hand of the Lord upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass around them, and behold, there were many, many bones in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Maybe you feel like that. And the Lord said to me, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? There's one of them loaded questions. God didn't ask because he didn't know the answer. He wanted to know where Ezekiel's faith was. Son of man, Ezekiel, can the bones live? So Ezekiel did what we do. He got all religious. When the Lord asks us something, we think we got to speak King James to him or get all pious. Ezekiel looked at the Lord and said, Lord, only you know. Whatever you want to do, you'll do. And we do that. Lord, if you want to get me out, get me out. Lord, if you want to bless me, bless me. And that way it requires no faith. It requires no prayer. It requires no accountability on our part. We can say, well, God did or well, God didn't. And so God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, only you know. The Lord didn't let him get away with it. The Lord said, oh, yeah, I know, but I want you to do something about it. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to prophesy. Come on, don't wait on your pastor to prophesy over you. Don't wait on somebody else to get you out of the valley of dry bones. But the Lord looked at Ezekiel and said, you prophesy to the bones and command them to live. And when you go, glory be to God. And then look what it says. Come on, let's get down there. Verse 5. And thus says the Lord God to these bones, Ezekiel was saying, and the Lord says to these bones, and I will cause breath to enter you, and they shall live. Amen. Now, question. Does anybody know anything about dry bones? If I saw a skeleton right here, doctor could tell us all about every bone, put them in order. But it would just be bones. For them bones to take human form, they would need some skin and muscle, hearts, lungs. What good would breath do bones? Huh? Breath would be the last thing you would put in, not the first thing. But see, God's ways are different than science ways. God's ways are different than our ways. His ways are higher. His thoughts are bigger. Come on, somebody. Kingdom principles are different than earthly principles. And God told Ezekiel, look at the valley of dry bones and prophesy to the four winds that the breath of heaven will breathe upon them. And as God's breath, the way it did in Genesis 2, it returned in Ezekiel 37, and his breath hit the dry bones. And it says when his breath hit it, the sinew and the muscle and the skin, and they came together, and what was dead came alive, and what was dry came alive, and now all of a sudden, instead of a dead army, there was a living army, but it came from God's breath. Yes. So maybe you think my family's dead. Breathe on them. I want more life in my church. Breathe on it. Maybe you want more life in your women's ministry. Breathe on it. Maybe you want more life on your children's ministry. Breathe on it. Let the breath of God that breathed into the dirt and made life, let the breath of God that breathed into the dead bones and brought them back to life, let the breath of God in Acts chapter 2, the mightiest wind that suddenly came into the upper room and tongues of fire set on each one of them, let the wind of God move again. Yeah, the wind of God. I went through dryness. I went through hopelessness, helplessness, depression, anxiety, seeing doctors, counselors. I did all. I'm open and honest. What do I got to lose? I got good stuff to lose. Pride, go. Because I was very arrogant. I was very proud. I was very judgmental. But then when you get to where you have nothing left but breath, you decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to get bitter? Or am I going to get better? Am I going to move forward? Or am I going to fall further backwards? And you have that pivotal point where you have to decide that no matter what, I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to exalt the Lord. Psalms 150 says, let everything that has breath. Let me ask you a question. It's not a trick question. If you don't know the answer to it, you're very bad off. So I'm going to give you a minute to shake the cobweb. How many people are breathing right now? Would you raise your hand if you're breathing? Okay. So when that worship band is up there, and they're worshiping, and you have breath, why isn't your breath being used for praise? Now, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm asking a question. I'm not bringing a rebuke or anything. Okay, understand what I'm saying. Like, well, wait a minute. We did. I understand. Okay.
clarify that for everybody bum rushes me with one bad arm. But how many times have we come in and we haven't felt like it? Tired. I'm hurting. Daggone it, pastor's lucky I even came. I should get a special badge for coming. My throat's sore and here I am. Yeah, I've been there. And I've preached from there. Like, God, really, you want me to get up and preach? And you know what I'm going through? Ha, 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 ha. And you want me to get up there and encourage them? Would you send somebody to encourage me? I mean, what's going on? And you have to get up there and do it. And there are times when you come and you're like, oh, I don't want to go to church. Oh, I don't want to serve. I don't want to pray. Those are the pivotal moments where you make steps forward or you stay the same or you step back. You've got to tell yourself, in the name of Jesus, ha, I have breath. Ha, I've got the life of God on the inside of me. You can have a tumor on your kidney, but you still got breath in your lung. You can have your left foot amputated, but you still have breath in your lung. You could be deaf in your left ear and blind in your right eye, but as long I will praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. That was the hard lesson I learned. All you've got left is breath. Will you praise me? Oh, you praised me when you had everything. You praised me when you had all the money you wanted. You praised me when you had all the people you wanted. But can you praise me when you ain't got nothing? And it took me a few weeks arguing with the Lord on that one because I didn't know if I wanted to praise him. Because I knew if I did, I had to be all in. I'm not a half in person. I can't make a partial commitment. When I make a commitment, I'm going to go. And I wasn't sure I was ready. I wasn't sure I was willing. When you're hurting, you're hurting. When you're battling depression, you're battling depression. People say, I'll just snap out of it. It'd be nice if that worked. You just love how people that have never battled anything tell you just snap out of it. How about I snap out of it, slap you, and go back into it? Yeah. But you know, we tell people these dumb things. And actually it makes them feel worse. Instead of offering them the power of God and the breath of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the embrace of God and his grace. We offer them stupid little lingos. Well, you're blessed and highly favored. And we cover up all our stuff with these little lingos in the foyer. Yeah, how are you? Blessed today. Oh, no, you're not, man. Your husband stayed home. Your wife stayed home. You fought all last night. You're late on two bills. The doctor gave you a bad report and you're telling everybody, hey, I'm good. Just walk up some and say, my God, I'm having a bad week. Can you pray for me? You'll find out if they got breath or if they can handle it or not. But we need some people we can be real with and say, look, yeah, I know by faith I'm blessed. I know by faith I'm highly favored. But my God, I got a devil on my right leg and I got another one on my right arm. Can you just pray for me right now? They might look at you and like, ah, pastor. Or they'll pray, but we cover everything up because we feel shame and we feel guilt. And then because we feel shame and guilt and we can't talk about it in the church, we go find a drug dealer and get a drug to help deal with it. We go find Jim and Bean and Bud and Wiser and we do that to deal with it because we're afraid if we tell somebody in the church, they're going to expose us, they're going to reject us, they're going to judge us. And so we'll go find something in the world to medicate it and cover it. Can somebody say amen? Amen? If you've gone through a struggle, you're okay. The Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His righteousness is accounted unto you, the perfectly lived life that you could never live, will never live, and won't ever get to live in that perfect state. And he said, I count it unto you as if you did. Woo! So right in the midst of my pain and my failure, Jesus said, you are my righteousness in me. Glory be to God. I lived it for you. Now that doesn't
doesn't mean I go do what I want, but that means in my failure or sin, his blood can cleanse me, his grace can forgive me, and Christ stands before the Father and says, I am his righteousness. I am Pastor Dennis's righteousness. Yes, he might have failed, but I am his righteousness, and I account it unto him. He is me. Man, isn't that awesome, man? A friend of mine in ministry was having me show me that scripture. He said, brother, you're the righteousness of God in Christ, man. Christ already lived it and accounted unto you as if you already did. And that takes the pressure of all us stress of trying, and it actually makes it easier to live in righteousness. Because now you're not doing it from the legalism of the law. You're doing it from the power of the breath of God. Can you say amen? Now look at these balloons. I'm glad Chris got here with these balloons. The whole thing hinged on him. If he had played hooky today, we'd have a whole different message, and everything would have kiltered off, and then he would have went through battles this week. He didn't know why he was going through them and all that, but he got him here. This is the way a lot of people are. Until breath is added to it. You can't make nothing out of it. You can't pop it. You can't draw on it. You can't put a string on it. You can't tie it to a birthday cake. You can't give it to a child. You can't do anything till you breathe in it. But then some people, they come to church and get like this. Woo! I'm happy. Give me five. How many give me five more minutes? Will you raise your hand? Five more minutes? Raise your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Amen. I got another hour. God, amen. I hope you are as generous with your offering as you are your time. I'm just kidding. Come on, y'all. Just look at this. Look at this. Now, some people, they come, they're like this. Woo! Monday, they get and see their boss. They come home from work and their husband or wife is like, what happened to you? I mean, Sunday's all that. And then Tuesday, they get in a fender bender. Then Wednesday, oh, I'm not going to small group. I don't need church. Oh, it's Wednesday. Then Saturday comes, and then we come back Sunday, and we got a little bit of more pliability because God filled us, and then the worship team gets up here, and they're like, come on, 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 come on. And what they're trying to do is get you back. So pastor can get up to preach, so people are looking like this and not like that, right? But the difference is breath. What if we learned to let God breathe in us? Come on. Then we learn to seal it. That word is sealed in us by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And we tied it off. And we just went around like this. Glory be to God. Come Monday, come Tuesday. Look, the devil can knock you both. Sorry about that. Can I hit your arm? The devil can knock you, but look, you got breath. You just bounce back. You just bounce back. Why? Because you got breath. There's light like a ball. It just bounces back. Amen. Instead of flying away. What if we learn to get full of the breath of God? And I'm trying, man. I'm not there. Man, I'm like, Lord, really? I was doing so good. Where's it at? And I get mad. Spirit of anger will come on me, or you get mad at people. Especially if you pastor a little bit. It's like, really? How many times are you going to tell me you're going to do this? And then you had the idea, then you don't even show up. You're like, oh. And then my wife, she's worse than me on that. So then we got to get together and you get mad. Or you get mad at people. I mean, come on, you spend day with people, you're going to get. People are people. Can be a little stupid. Especially if you go through an airport. You wonder, how do they... If breathing wasn't... I sit there in the airport. Now, this is questions I ask myself. If breathing wasn't an automatic reflex, would that person live or die? if they had to think, I'm like, they would die. And I sit there, y'all going to do it now. And I'm like, okay, they would live, they would live. Man, that whole family would be dead if breathing wasn't automatic. Come on. Or the way some people drive. You're like, really? Miami, it's bad. I live in a small town, man. Come on. If the train comes to the railroad track or a farmer has a horse out on the road, we're like, traffic jam. I'm not joking. That's the way it is. But what if we got full of the breath of God and we learned to tie it off and seal it, stay full of the power of God? Then no matter what come our way, we're fully inflated. We're able to bounce back no matter what comes our way. We're able to bounce back because we have the breath of God in us. Genesis chapter 2, God breathed on the dirt. Ezekiel chapter 37, God breathed on the bones. Last scripture, go with me to John and let's stand on our feet. Go with me to John 20, verse 22. Is this all right today? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 20, and verse 22. Now, this is before the upper room, okay? John 20, verse 22. Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I now send you." We're here at the end of before Jesus leaves them. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Now, why did Jesus breathe on the disciples? Strange. Could have laid hands. Could have shook hands. Could have just said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Jesus said, "I do nothing except I've seen the Father do it first. I say nothing except I've heard the Father speak it." And Jesus was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus was there in the beginning because he was with God. He was. And so in Genesis 2, he saw Jesus, he saw the Lord breathe into the dirt. And because he was in the beginning, he was there in Ezekiel when God, his Father, told Ezekiel, "Breathe," and God breathed into the bones. Jesus saw his Father breathe and make life. Breath transferred God's spirit. And so when Jesus was leaving and not going to be with the disciples any longer in person, he looked at them and did what he had seen his Father do in eternity past. Now he's here in eternity present, and he breathed on them, giving them the exchange of his Father's spirit. Wow. Why does Benny Hinn blow on people? You see people don't? Because God did, because Jesus did, and it symbolizes the exchange of God's spirit into the human soul. So don't make light of it. And don't say, "Ooh, God did it. Jesus did it. We can do it." It symbolizes the exchange of God's presence. And God's breath is life, and God's breath is power. I want to ask you today if you'll do me a favor. I want to ask if everyone here that will join me at this altar. All the way to the front, right up to the front step, and let's fill it and just say, "Lord, I need you to breathe upon me." I'm not going to call out problems and situations. We all need the breath of God. Paul and Silas were in the midnight hour. They didn't have the keys to unlock their shackles. They didn't have a sword or a gun or anything to set themselves free. All they had was breath. Come on up a little closer. Come on. And Paul and Silas began to sing and worship the Lord at the midnight hour. And you know what happened? Their chains fell off. The doors of every prison cell opened. So when I praise, it doesn't just affect me, but it affects you. And when you praise, it doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody around you. When your Father praises, it helps set you free. And when you praise, it helps set your friends free. You see, when Paul and Silas praise, the Bible says it ascends to heaven and is a sweet-smelling aroma, but it's also a jackhammer against hell. And it said it went to the foundations of that prison and the walls came down. So your praise removes your prison cells, but it also calls upon the Spirit of God. So would you just lift your hands to heaven right now? Let's just begin to give him your own personal praise. Come on, right now, just begin to worship the Lord with a new song, with your own words. Sheila da 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 dumbro, son da 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 dumbro. Let the breath of God, let the breath of God, let the breath of God. You might say, well, I don't understand. Listen, I had four titanium screws put in my shoulder. I didn't understand how they would do it, but I let them do it. I couldn't do it if they gave me the surgical tools to do it, but I trusted my doctor to do it. I don't understand how they fix my car every time, but I entrust them to do it. You don't have to understand everything for God to just bless you and for God to just change you and to just say, God, I trust you. I don't understand how it's going to work, but God, I see in your word and I hear a preacher saying, would you breathe upon me, God? Would you breathe upon me, Lord? Spirit of heaven, breathe upon us today. Spirit of heaven, breathe upon us today at Pure Hearts. Breathe from the left to the right, to the front, to the back. Would you breathe upon us? Let every spirit of depression, let every spirit of anxiety and worry, let them go. Let every spirit of sickness and crippledness and disease, let it go, let it go. Let every spirit of deafness and every spirit of blindness and every kidney disorder and liver disorder and bones that are out of alignment, let them come back to in Jesus' name. Let migraine headaches go in the name of Jesus. Let ear infections go in the name of Jesus. At that name, every knee shall bow. There is no greater name under heaven or earth that whereby men shall be saved. Let cancer cells deplete and die in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.